on out, Brother Mike?
Hallelujah.
I've been wanting to say this for a long time, and I just happen to have a good illustration for it, but I'm fixing to preach, amen? I think I told you a while back that every time I heard that, I want to get my toolbox, so I brought it. Just for you. It's always a privilege and honor to be here and get to preach in this pulpit, and for that I thank preacher immensely. It's a privilege to be here tonight. And so, if you'll take your Bibles and stand with me and turn to Isaiah chapter 10, and I'll let you know what the toolbox is all about later on, but, and like I said, we'll get to that. But, I found out before I went on vacation that I was going to be preaching, so I had lots of time to think about it, and I was reading my Bible at junior camp, and that's a good thing to do, right, Brother Jim? And I decided, you know, you have schedules and things you do for it, and I would just open my Bible, and I just said, well, this is kind of nice, and I had read this chapter several times, but Isaiah chapter 10 is an amazing chapter. I love it, and it was just the message, the time that God had laid out for me to think about this, meditate on it, think about it. And so that's what we're going to have tonight for our text. We're going to read verses 1 through 15, and then we'll get into the message. Verse 1 says, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that right grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will ye do in the day of visitation? In the desolation which shall come from far, to whom will ye flee for help? And where will ye leave your glory? Without me they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy, and to cut off nations, not a few. For he saith, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno and as Carmish, and not Hamath as Arpad, and Samaria as Damascus? And as my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bounds of the people, and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift up? Or as if the staff should lift up itself as it were no wood? That's where I want to focus tonight, is at verse 15. As I went through and read that, of course, talking about the judgment being brought on Jerusalem by Sennacherib, king of Assyria. And God goes through all of that to judge his people, and he uses the king of Assyria to set forth his judgment. But then the very tool that God uses to pronounce judgment on his people begins to boast and begins to have the pride in his own self of who, how great he is and what a great king he is. And we find out later on that God pronounces judgment upon him. But I want you to look tonight and see, verse 15, shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith, or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? Now, like I said, I brought this toolbox for a reason. Let me turn it around here so I can get to some of the things inside. The title of the message tonight is Tools for the Master's Use. Now, this saw is a tool. And it's used by the master for a purpose. And this one's been well used. Amen? And it of itself is nothing. It has no power of its own, except when it gets shaken by the master or used like a saw should be used. It said in there also, how about a rod? Well, I'll use a hammer for a rod. That'll work. Unless I swing it as the master, this hammer has no power. It's a tool. And how can it boast itself of anything? It can't. Well, then how can you or I boast ourselves of anything either? Because we ought to be desired to be tools, yes. And wonderful and great tools, absolutely. But tools for the master's use. And I just want to focus on that thought tonight as we preach this evening. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do love you. Thank you for these folks being here tonight. Pray that you'd be with our preacher as he's preaching even now. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless and help him. Give him the strength he needs. Lord, I know he's going through a multitude of things health-wise. And Lord, I pray that you just bless him and help him. Lord, we think of the Lassiters, dear friends of ours there on vacation. Pray that you help them as they travel. And Lord, bring them back safe to us this next week. And Lord, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. Pray that you bless the message tonight. Help it to inspire us to do what we are designed and made to do. And Lord, that serve you as tools for your use. Lord, I pray that you're blessed now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there are many types of tools and uses for them. And in our day and age, specialty tools are the kind of the in thing. Okay? I've got a few in here that may be specialty tools. A plumber might use this one. It's a pipe cutter. Okay? It cuts pipes. Not everybody has one of these in their toolbox, but some do. Plumbers would, I hope. I found this one in the closet. I think it does rivets. It's again a specialty tool. Yes, it's a rivet machine. That's what it is. And it's an old one, but that's okay. They're still tools, and they still work, and they still do some good. Auto mechanics ought to have sockets, right? But a socket isn't any good without a ratchet, and there isn't one in here. Wrenches, those are good, unless they're broken. Oh, and just multitude. Oh, Allen wrenches, those are good things. And handy for little stuff. Chisels, those are important, but they help when you have a hammer. So all of these tools have a purpose and a use. Some are specialty tools, specialty items, things you use once in a lifetime. My father had a wrench. It was this big. And the end of it on this end was this big. And, of course, the box end of it was this big. And it was for a combine, a special kind of combine. He fixed them. So that's what he had. And that's the only thing it ever got used for. The rest of the time it sat around in the garage. But that's kind of like what specialty tools are for. All you gearheads and people that know about tools, I'll understand all of that. In our text tonight, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was used as a tool by God. A heathen king used to do a work to pass judgment upon his people. And He did a good job. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. And, you know, when you do a good job, you kind of feel good about it. And he thought he was, my coined phrase, all that in a bag of chips. And he had a great feeling in himself. And he let the whole world know about it. And God didn't like that too much. Because it wasn't Sennacherib. It was God. Who used him as a tool for his use. And we need to make sure we give our ownership to God. Everything that's done in our lives needs to go to the glory of God because we are just tools. And we ought to be tools for the master's use. Now, of course, the master that I'm talking about is Jesus Christ and his work. And I hope tonight that if you're here in this building, you're not serving the other master that some call master, and that would, of course, be Satan. But there could be some in this room like that. Those of you who are maybe lost and don't know you're going to heaven. But I hope you're being used as a tool for the master's use, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Just three simple things. Becoming a tool. Becoming a useful tool. And becoming a favorite tool. Now all you men out there, and maybe some of you ladies, have favorite tools. Am I right? I've got one. This is my favorite tool. My Gerber. I love this tool. It's got everything. It's a pliers. Got a nice little wire cutter here in the front. You can open it up. It has knives and screwdrivers and more screwdrivers and more screwdrivers and a file and a bottle opener, another screwdriver, a lanyard, and a nice serrated knife. And it's even lock blade. So that's nice too. This is my favorite tool. You can use it for almost anything. It's just nice to have around. And favorite tools get used. Trusty tools get used. I know that if this ever breaks, I can send it back in and get a new one. It's a favorite tool, and it has a nice little pouch that you can carry around. God wants you to be a favorite tool. One he can pick up at any time knowing that you'll get the job done. And you're fit and designed exactly for the job that needs to be done. And that's something that we're going to talk about. This tool, my favorite tool, did not just appear as a Gerber. Pliers. It had to be formed and fashioned into a tool from the metal that it was created from. And assembled and designed and put together, God has done that with his will for your life. And that's part of becoming a tool. So number one, becoming a tool starts with salvation. Salvation is the beginning part of a Christian so that he can become a tool for the master's use. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. If you will, becoming a Christian is the beginning of becoming a tool. Ephesians chapter 2. We know verses 8 and 9 by heart, and I know that most of you know 10 now because everybody says everybody knows 2, 8, and 9, but nobody knows 10. So you've probably studied it and learned it, I hope. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now remember, the tool in Isaiah chapter 10 boasted of itself. This says not that any man, or lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. You're a workmanship. This pliers is a workmanship. It's been designed and developed and created, and you have been designed, developed, and created. You are his workmanship. And we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That means we're a tool fit for a job. And that job is good works. We are his workmanship created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are, when you get saved, you are formed into a tool. And you are formed unto good works. You're formed for a specific purpose. Just like this socket is fitted and formed for an 11/16 bolt head. That's all it will work on. It'll work okay on its metric equivalent. But it's designed for an 11/16. And you're designed as a Christian unto good works. You are His workmanship. You are becoming a tool. When you get saved and you're going to be a tool for the Master's use, you're His workmanship, created unto good works. That's what the Bible tells us. And we have that purpose. We're a tool with a purpose and a plan. I'm glad Brother Garner popped in. I was gonna use this one as an example of somebody's cajitas. I asked him Saturday morning what in the world a cajitas was. I'm just a dumb Yankee. I don't know anything. He goes, it's like a thingamabob or a thingamawatchet or whatever you call it. I said, oh, okay, that makes sense. So this is somebody's cajitas right here. And you can be a cajitas fit for the Master's use as well. I thought he'd enjoy that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And verses 21 and 22. Because we're a tool being formed through salvation by God's workmanship, there are also tools that claim to be used of God. Well, maybe they're not. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are some out there that will claim to be tools of the Master and doing the work of the Master, but they're not His tools. They're not. The Master knows His tools. He knows which ones belong to Him. This one's got a little signature on it. You may not, nobody would ever know but me. The smallest blade of my screwdrivers is twisted. I know it's mine. You all have a mark. We're His. He knows His own. And He knows His tools. And becoming a tool begins with salvation. Also, becoming a tool has, with salvation, surrender. Surrender. Turn to Acts chapter 9. I love this part. A very knowledgeable and formidable tool who ended up being just as zealous in the end as he did as a lost person was the Apostle Paul. Look at what he says here in verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now that was his point of salvation. But that was his point of surrender. He gave up everything. Absolutely 100% everything to God. If I'm sawing something with a saw, and I'm cutting through it, and it gives me some resistance, you know what I do? I push harder. Or maybe I'm sawing and 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 it just catches. And then I push a little bit harder and I push it too far and it breaks. Surrender. If the saw will just surrender to exactly the path that I want it to take and flow through the wood just like it's supposed to, there's no problem. And I can be done with my work and I'm a happy master and the saw is happy because it did its job. Didn't you know saws had feelings? Don't you watch cartoons with your children? They talk even. you'll get to know more that I have three little children, and they're wonderful. But he gave surrender. You have got to surrender as a tool to be used by the master. If every time I picked up my pliers, it shocked me, you think I'd pick it up anymore? Or if every time I picked up my pliers, I couldn't grip it to squeeze something, it kept slipping out of my hand, do you think I would pick it up anymore? Or if the jaws became seized so that they couldn't close or wouldn't close, do you think I would pick it up anymore? That tool has got to have complete surrender to whatever I want it to do for me to want to use it. And if it doesn't, it's going to get put in a drawer somewhere or sold at a garage sale. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'll put it on somebody else. As is, right? But becoming a tool, you've got to be first fashioned and formed into a tool, but also surrender. So you got to start with salvation and surrender in your life in order to become a tool. Now, it's one thing to be a tool, but another thing to be a useful tool. Amen? Be honest, gentlemen. What percentage of the tools in your garage have you ever used? Huh? They all come in handy. Oh, that's a great tool. Cool, look at this one. Oh, wow. Never used it, have you? Come on now. Right? So what separates a tool from a useful tool? Well, let me tell you, here's the first one. It's suitable for the job. A useful tool is suitable for a job. You see this cajitas that I have? I'm going to call it that now since he's here. It's got a little rust on it. It probably hasn't been used in, oh, what do you say, Brother Tom? 20 years? I found it in the closet back there. But I would say this maybe isn't a very useful tool for many things. It's only useful for one thing. Well, I guess you could use it as a hammer. It might work for that. It's heavy enough. But it's not really suitable to be a screwdriver. It's not suitable to cut anything. It's only suitable for popping rivets. That's what it's for. And that's the only thing that it can do. But you know what? If I'm going to be a tool for the master's use, I want to be a suitable tool, a usable tool, a tool that's useful. And in order for a Christian to be useful, we've got to do things the Bible way. And there's certain things that we have to follow and have to have in our lives. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We need to make ourselves a vessel unto honor, a tool that is meet and that is useful to the master. That means keeping your testimony right, keeping yourself usable as a Christian. If you look at verse 15, and we'll get to it in just a minute, from there until this verse 21, it talks about shunning profane and vain babblings, because they increase into more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And it talks about how these men have done these things and said these things. And it says to them, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, and meet for the master's use. A useful tool is set apart. A useful tool is separated, if you will. I was talking to the kids at junior camp about the Christian basics. My Bible is like a filing cabinet. I got everything in here. We had the basic do's and don'ts of the Christian life. at camp. And I got to teach that lesson, and one of them is do separate from the world. The world shouldn't look at you and say, oh, he's just like me. The world shouldn't hear you and say, oh, he's just like me. The world shouldn't witness your attitude and say, oh, he's just like me. See how you're dressed and say, oh, he's just like me. Hear what you listen to and say, oh, he's just like me. We need to be separate. And I even went so far as I got the chance to teach on the bus. So I was reliving the glory days, bus captain, right? All excited and hyped up and all that stuff. I'm not normally like that. And I said, when the world sees you, they should be, whoa! Look at that! Because, you know, when you see the guy with the 10-foot mohawk and pierced from here to everywhere, you say, whoa! And you get all your friends and you laugh, right? Well, the world ought to do the same thing to you, Christian. But why don't they? Because you're not a useful tool. We need to be a suitable tool. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. A suitable tool. That's what I'm talking about. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That means you're a usable tool. You're in a state that you're worthy of the vocation. That's work. That's your call. Look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And it goes on to talk about the body. And we're all part. I'm not going to go out to a job with just one tool. I'm going to take all my tools. God wants a toolbox full of tools. He doesn't just want one or two or three. He wants a whole toolbox for. And that's what he wants. He needs useful tools, tools that he can use and that are worthy of their vocation. He wants to use tools and he wants to use us. And then very quickly to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I think Brother Sam took all my time away. He didn't. I'm just long-winded, I guess. I'll try to get you up before Brother Donnelly did last week. That's a little inside office joke there. So. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A suitable tool. A suitable tool. That's your reasonable service. God wants to use you. And he wants you to be a useful tool. Not only do you have to be suitable, in order to be a useful tool, you got to be suitable, but you also have to be sharp. There's nothing like a dull saw to drive somebody nuts. You gotta be sharp. You gotta be on your best shape, if you will, as a tool to be used. And if you ever use a screwdriver that maybe was missing a corner, I hate that. Most annoying thing. Or maybe a Phillips head screwdriver that's been twisted a little bit or dulled a little bit or mangled a little bit. My grandpa used to resharpen screwdrivers because they wouldn't work right. Brother Garner knows that. He likes tools that are sharp, don't you? They work the best. And you know what? God wants a tool that's sharp. Look at, quickly, Proverbs 27:17. Proverbs 27:17. The Bible tells us iron sharpeneth iron, So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Hey, why do you think we meet together here at church? Is it just some kind of party on Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings? No, iron sharpeneth iron. You come to church to get sharpened. You hang out with your Christian friends from church because you're going to sharpen each other. That fellowship. Why associate with the world? You got enough friends here to associate with to take up all your time. Much better for you. Because iron sharpeneth iron. And we ought to work on that and be sharp tools. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. I'll just read it for you. It says, if the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. How many of you ever split wood? Huh? Helps to have a sharp axe. A blunt axe is a terrible thing. It's a horrible thing to do to a kid. Here, go chop some wood. It'd take him 10 years. No, you got to have something sharp. Because the duller the blade, the harder you got to swing. The more effort you have to put behind that axe blade. Needs to be sharp. We know that the Word of God is sharp and powerful. And you know what, Christian? You'll do well to hide that Word in your heart to make you sharp and a useful tool in the service of the Master. And then lastly tonight, not only becoming a tool and becoming a useful tool, but becoming the favorite tool of the Master. Oh, how I want to be used by God to do His work. Don't you? Don't you? I want to be the first tool God picks up out of the toolbox. I'm a little selfish, maybe. Huh? Why not? Why not? I want to be His favorite tool. I want to be His go-to tool. When no other tool can get it done, dun da da da. Favorite tool time. Come on, right? Why not? Why not? Why wouldn't you want to be God's favorite tool? I do. Paul did. He didn't mind it. He liked being the go-to guy. He liked being the favorite tool. And you know what? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. In order to be the favorite tool, not only do you have to have salvation and surrender and be suitable and be sharp, but in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, there's another quality of a tool we want to look at. The favorite tool. It's in my Bible somewhere. I'll get to it. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You've got to be a submissive tool. To become the favorite tool of the Master, you've got to be a submissive tool. Paul was submissive to God's will for his life. And when we surrender and have all of those other things, being sharp and salvation and being suitable, but when we give in submission to His perfect will, we become a favorite tool of the Master. God wants to use us. He wants us to be that submissive tool. Now for the last a few verses, look at James chapter 4. We need to be a submissive tool, but along with that submissiveness, we need to be sold out for Jesus Christ and His purpose. Look at James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Get this now. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh to God. If I'm in a situation and I need my favorite tool and it's not right here, I'll grab nearest stick, rock, shoe, piece of metal, whatever, right? A tool that I can use. If I don't have this right with me, but if my tool is nigh to me, it's sure easy to reach for and to pull out and to use. If you'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. And you'll become a favorite tool in His arsenal of tools to use. And He wants to use you, Christian. Oh, He wants to use you. We need to be sold out for God. Paul was sold out for God. He said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He was a useful tool. He was a favorite tool. Tools for the master's use. Are you even in this box tonight? Are you even a tool tonight? Have you been saved? You need to. Are you just a tool in the box that nobody's used for 20 years? Maybe you were the favorite tool at one time, but you chipped a corner and got set aside. Sharpen up. Become suitable again. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Become that favorite tool. I hope you have in your heart to be the favorite tool for the master's use. Now, one thing in closing. No matter how good of a tool you are, how sharp of a tool, how suitable a tool, or even the favorite tool, watch out for pride. It'll send any tool to the trash can that fast. God won't put up with that. He's the master. He's the one with the power behind it all. You're just a tool. But be the best tool you can be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, love you. Thank you for what you've given to us in your precious word.